Peace is exactly what I sought in life, by Kumlavi Hunga, interviewed by Mia Kauto and Hanna Ratilainen. I began to think about God when I was about 12. I recall that my childhood was quite happy, joyous, and peaceful when my father had only one wife, my mother. Our family was Catholic, but we lived in Togo, and there a man could take multiple wives. When father took a second wife, our life changed. Mother was depressed. She was always ill, and life was very difficult. Father wanted to save me from our difficult family atmosphere, and he sent me to a Catholic boarding school. I was there for 3-month sessions, after which I always went home to my family for a week's vacation. After I had spent 2 years in that school, I went to live with my grandmother. I attended a Catholic church, not exactly every Sunday, but always when it was possible. But even so, I no longer felt joy or peace in my life. I had many questions in my mind. When I began high school, I had to return to my parents' home. One of my bigger questions was, why did God allow me to suffer? After all, I was only a little boy. Why Father had broken the peace in our family by taking another wife also troubled me. When I returned home, Father took yet a third wife. At that stage, Mother decided to move out of our mutual home. It was a really difficult time. I remember that my mother tried to end her life at least 3 times. At that time, I no longer went to the Catholic Church. I trusted no one, neither God nor man. While I was in high school, I met a certain man, Nicholas Kofide, who had moved to our home area. I spoke with him only about politics. During those times in our land, there were political problems, and people fought on the side of freedom and democracy. Whenever we had time, almost every morning, we met and talked about politics. The problems of my childhood and society together affected me so that I became bitter. I was bitter that I had to be involved with people. That's the kind of attitude I had then. The political situation in our land unfolded very poorly, and many people had to flee abroad. Even Nicholas moved to Sweden. He kept in touch with me because he wanted to know what was happening in Togo. I went no further than our neighboring country for 6 months and continued my studies there. Nicholas returned to Togo after a year and a half. One time I was on my way to the university and I stopped by Nicholas's small electronics shop. That time Nicholas told me about matters of faith. In Sweden, he had been invited to services where believers had preached the forgiveness of sins to him. In my mind, it was completely strange that people could preach the forgiveness of sins. None of it interested me. Nicholas doesn't give up easily. That time he didn't continue the conversation, but if I remember correctly and knowing Nicholas, he likely said that we would continue the discussion another day. I just laughed at him, but Nicholas is persistent. I went to Nicholas's shop again one day and found a newspaper there titled The Voice of Zion. Togo is a French country. We also learn English in school, but we had very little English reading material, and for that reason an English language paper seemed interesting. Reading it was a way to improve my English. I asked Nicholas if I could borrow this paper. Many articles in the paper touched me. They related, for example, that God's kingdom is here in people's midst. They spoke of forgiveness of sins and Jesus' second coming. The article said that believers have peace in their hearts. They have a bright future. I had a feeling that I just had to speak further with Nicholas about this matter, and so, a few days later, I went to return the paper to him. We began again to discuss faith matters. However, I was a bit afraid since I knew from earlier experience and from the Bible that in the last times would come many false prophets. Still, we continued our discussion whenever we had time. The greatest change in my thoughts and why I became interested in faith matters was that God's children have peace in their hearts. Nicholas had changed a lot. I clearly saw that he was a lot more positive and that in his everyday life and speech had occurred a change for the better. Peace was exactly what I sought in life because of the difficult experiences in my childhood home. I also conversed with Nicholas's brother. He and I attended university at the same time, and there, too, we were able to discuss faith matters. Nicholas suggested that we could sometimes meet to read the Bible together. So we began to gather. I even asked a few of my friends to come along. In the beginning, about 10 to 15 of us gathered. Nicholas chose some part in the Bible, which he read, and then we discussed it. The most important questions touched on how a person was able to forgive another's sins and whether one could have sins forgiven by praying to God. Nicholas read many portions from the Bible, and especially the part where it tells how Paul received the gift of faith. Often he also spoke of Nicodemus. These parts of the Bible became more understandable and clearer to me than before. In the Catholic Church, only the priest has permission to release one from sin, and we, too, had gone to confess our sins to the priest. The priest might exhort one to read a certain psalm or assign some act of penance. Following this, he said that now Jesus has accepted you again as his child, but go and sin no more. Nicholas taught that every believing person can preach the forgiveness of sins to another person. This teaching was entirely different from what I had earlier received. We had many questions. Sometimes when Nicholas didn't have an answer to our questions, he said that he would send a message to his friends, and they could then clarify the unclear parts for us. In 2000, Nicholas went to SRK Summer Services in Finland. When he returned in July or August, we again began to gather. He spoke to us of God's kingdom and of his experiences at summer services. Sometime later, he told us that he had asked two speakers from America to come and hold services in Lomé. If we wanted to attend the services, we were welcome. On November 27th, 2000, we had our first services in Lomé, and Nicholas arranged to have them at his uncle's house. The American speakers, John Letla and Keith Warrenimi, spoke of God's kingdom and how one could enter God's kingdom. At the end of their sermons, they asked, "Does anyone want to have their sins forgiven?" It was very moving and forever unforgettable when nearly all raised their hands and we were able to believe our sins forgiven. When the speaker brothers came from America, we understood that they had fear in their hearts. But when we had received the grace of repentance and met again, the atmosphere was entirely different. We were all very joyful, and it seemed that we had known each other for years already. I recall that we held services again there at Nicholas's uncle's house, but this time that uncle still did not receive the grace of repentance. My own endeavor of faith began there. I remember that when I was able to believe the gospel personally, tears came to my eyes. I was both peaceful and happy at the same time. I didn't raise my hand because I wanted to please anyone. I had examined my conscience and felt that even though I had tried to do good and maintain good relationships with people, I was, in spite of that, very sinful. Raising my hand was not difficult. I was about 25 years old when I received the grace of repentance. I was a young university student, and a great many things had happened in my life. I can freely tell you, dear sisters and brothers, that when things are difficult for a young man, one way of forgetting problems is to go to a bar to drink alcohol. I also had experienced this in my life. My life changed when I received the grace of repentance. I had been believing for 6 or 7 years. I worked in Lomé in a publishing house. During lunch break, I often asked some colleague to go out for lunch at a restaurant. One time when my workmate and I were out dining, there came into the restaurant a fellow student from university days. We had not met for many years. I remember his first reaction when he saw me. He called me by name. He was amazed to see me drinking juice, and he asked first off if I was ill. Then he talked with his workmates. He said that he had never seen me drink juice. I had already earlier told my workmate that my past had been quite difficult and that I had drunk alcohol. At that time, they didn't believe me. Only when this schoolmate verified the matter did they begin to believe me. When I repented, I thought that my life would become very easy. My relationship to my mother was, nevertheless, very difficult. She had become a Jehovah's Witness. 3 brothers and 1 sister were also Jehovah's Witnesses. I was the only one who did not want to belong to that group. They couldn't understand me. Nor could my mother understand why I wanted to maintain a relationship with my half-brother, half-sister, and stepmother. She thought I should keep a clear border between myself and them. In that way, life with my mother was again very difficult. I often prayed that my mother would also one day repent. Of my family, only one brother has received the grace of repentance. He is a very dear brother and believing friend to me. When we received the grace of repentance, we spoke to our relatives about matters of faith. In Togo and Lomé, we had a practice that every Sunday evening we would meet in small groups of two or three and go to people's homes to speak about faith matters. Of even that experience, I can say that God's word has not changed from biblical times. Some people welcomed us very happily and kindly and were interested to listen to what we had to say. Some promised to come to services Sunday morning, but we never saw them. Some received the grace of repentance and came to services, but for some reason their journey of faith ended and they returned to their former life. Some received the grace of repentance and are still believers, beloved brothers and sisters to us all. When we have the possibility and God gives us words, then we can talk to our friends about faith matters. In Togo, it is easier to talk of them than in Finland, where I now live, because people in Togo are now seeking truth and God's kingdom. They don't usually complain about someone coming to speak about matters of faith. They listen and then perhaps begin to analyze what has been said to them. I remember once when I talked to my employer in Finland. I told him that I would have to leave for home earlier that Friday. I explained that I had to keep a Bible class lesson. He was quite amazed. Then I related that I was a conservative Lestadian and asked if he had ever heard of us. He said that he has heard of us many times through the media. He also recalled that about 20 years earlier, there was a large event, summer services, in nearby Nummela. I shared with him how I had received the grace of repentance in Togo, what kind of family I had here in Finland, and how I believed. At that time, he was not interested in matters of faith, but God had his plan and his time. When I remember Togo and what has happened and is happening there, I can say that it is unbelievable. One Sunday morning, we began services in Lomé at 8:30, but Sunday school started at 8 o'clock. We waited for the children to arrive for Sunday school. I had the teaching turn that day. I came into the churchyard to wait. Then there came a 60 to 65-year-old woman on a motorcycle taxi. She stopped and came to greet me. She said she was on her way to church, but didn't know exactly to what church she was going. Then she said she wanted to come to a worship service in our church. I bid her welcome and said that services would begin in a half hour. This woman listened very carefully to the services. In Togo, we have a practice that if we see some newcomer at services, we go to them after the sermon and talk to them. During our conversation after the sermon, this woman said that she had been in many religious groups events to listen. She had lived with her family in Italy, Spain, and France. She said that this was the first time she felt that she had found what she sought. She didn't accept the gospel that day, but warmly welcomed us to her home. After a week, a few brothers went there to discuss matters of faith with her. This older lady posed many questions, and at the end, she personally believed the gospel. Thereafter, she came to services on Sundays. 2 or 3 weeks later, we heard that she was in the hospital. She had asked her daughter to phone two believing pastors. They went to the hospital to see her. She wanted to again hear the gospel, and the gospel was preached to her. A week later, we heard that she had died. We arranged her funeral services. They were the first funeral services in the Lomé Church. This event gave many the strength to believe that God himself calls his own and that he has his plans for each person. God's promises are always fulfilled. This woman died in faith. She had had her sins forgiven. Isn't it unbelievable, dear brothers and sisters? In Togo, there are now about 600 believers, and services are held in 13 different locations. Now is a day of visitation for Gentiles. We rejoice that God is also with us. This is the realization of prophecy. We live in a very special time. It is clear that this world is approaching its end, but before that happens, God's word will spread to all parts of the world. I want to say that I have received the most important gift in my life. I am no longer a boy who fears all the time. I have been blessed with many brothers and sisters, many escorts in God's kingdom.